Again, our thanks to Lynn for her ministry and song this evening. What in the world is the world? Catherine Annabel Hanke was the daughter of a very prosperous banker. She belonged to a group of people who sought to apply the ethics of Christ to personal, social, political, and national affairs. And like her father before her, she was a lady who showed tremendous interest in folk who were less fortunate than herself. She devoted much of her time to Bible teaching, especially among the factory girls of that day, and her efforts were rewarded in the fact that many of her students became leaders in Christian work. In the year 1866, Catherine suffered a serious illness which required a very lengthy convalescence. As she lay in her bed thinking of the story of redemption, she longed for someone to come to her side. Even though she was a believer, she longed for someone to come to her side and tell her again the old, old story. As a result of this experience, she wrote a two-part 50-verse poem on the life and work of Jesus Christ. Part one contained the words of this hymn, "Tell me the old, old story." Speaking of the purpose behind the hymn, she said, "God's remedy for sin is something I want to hear often, lest I forget it. As weak as I am, I cannot think too well or too fast. I need to have the story explained to me as a little child." You remember her words? "Tell me the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled." Nowhere in all of the Bible is the old, old story better told than in John 3 and verse 16. Condensed to 25 words, the wondrous story is told in the world's greatest text. No wonder Martin Luther called it the miniature gospel, the little Bible. John Phillips says, "No other statement in the Bible so aptly sums up God's redemptive purpose in Christ for the human race." Here, my dear friends, we have the greatest possible love, for God so loved the world. The greatest possible gift, that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest possible plan, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest possible deliverance, should not perish. The greatest possible possession, have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. What does John mean here? What in the world is the world? The word "world" here is a Greek word that is pronounced cosmos. And when we turn to the New Testament, we discover that this word "world" is used in different senses in Scripture. Sometimes the word "world" means the created universe. John speaks of it in this way when he says of the Lord Jesus, chapter 1 and verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him." He was referring to the created universe. He was referring to planet Earth. Sometimes John uses the world in a different way. He uses the world to talk about the spiritual system that is opposed to God and Christ. For example, when our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, "I am not of this world," he was using the word "world" in that sense. Sometimes the word "world" simply means people. It means humanity. John uses the word "world" in this sense in chapter 1 and verse 10 when he says, "And the world knew him not." And so in answer to the question tonight, what in the world is the world? I want to suggest to you three very simple things. First of all, I want to suggest to you there is a place called the world. There is a place called the world. Come back with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Have a look at it for a moment or two. Look at verse 10. Notice what John says. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Paul uses the word world in the same way. And when he speaks to the intellectuals of his day in Mars Hill, he says, God that made the world and all things therein. The word world here speaks of planet Earth, the world that we live on, the world around us, the world in which we live and on we live. There is a place tonight called the world. My dear friends, this world was created by God. John begins his gospel, chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But maybe you're saying tonight, well, only God can create. Creation is something that belongs to God and God alone. You know something? That's right. But then Jesus Christ was, he is, he ever shall be God. And my friends, from Genesis 1 to John 1 to Colossians 1 to Hebrews 1, the Lord Jesus is said to be the layer of the foundations of the earth. Jesus Christ was the executor of the Godhead. He was the one who carried out the plans of the Godhead. God created all things by Jesus Christ. He's the creator of this universe. Some years ago, there was a man on television called, what was his name? He told you about space and the universe. Patrick, you're listening. Patrick Moore, that's the guy. And he showed us the vastness of this universe. I wonder, have you ever considered the vastness of this universe? You know, if you could bore a hole in the sun tonight, and somehow put in 1.2 million Earths, you would have still room for 4.3 million moons. The sun is 865,000 miles in diameter. It's 93 million miles away from Earth. Our next nearest star is a star called Alpha Centauri. It's five times larger than our sun. The moon tonight, it's only 211,453 miles away, and you could walk to it in 27 years. A ray of light travels at 186,000 miles per second, and so a beam of light could reach the moon in only 1.5 seconds. If you and I could travel at that speed tonight, we would reach Venus in 2 minutes 18 seconds. It's only 26 million miles away. After 4.5 minutes, we would have passed Mercury, which is 50 million miles away. We could travel to Mars in 4 minutes and 21 seconds. It's only 34 million miles away. The next stop would be Jupiter, which is 367 million miles away. And it would take you and I 35 minutes if we were traveling as fast as the speed of light. Saturn is twice as far as Jupiter. It's 790 million miles away. It would take 1 hour and 11 seconds. Eventually, we would pass Uranus and Neptune and finally Pluto, 2.7 billion miles away. My friends, haven't gotten that far. We haven't left our solar system, which moves in a multi-million mile orbit through endless space. The nearest star is 10 times further than the boundaries of our solar system, 20 billion miles away. The North Star is 400 billion miles away, but that isn't very far compared with known space. The star called Belakes is 880 quadrillion miles away from us. It's a diameter of 250 million miles, which is greater than the Earth's orbit. Now, those are only statistics that bounce off our minds and heads. Where did it all come from? Did it come as the result of some big bang? Did it come about as the result of accident? Who made it? Who created it? Did it just evolve? Did it just come about? My dear friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of the eternal God, created it all. He's the creator of the universe. Maybe you've stepped into this meeting tonight and your heart's broken, and your heart is burdened with sin, and your heart is weary with the bondage of sin, and maybe your life needs fixing tonight. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can meet the deepest need of your heart. Some years ago, a man was driving his car down the road when suddenly the car stalled. And try as he would, he couldn't get the car started again. And finally, he just stood there. And out of frustration, he kicked the tire. Just then, a long, sleek, black limousine pulled up beside him. The chauffeur jumped out. And he opened the back door, and out jumped a well-dressed man, an elegant man. And the gentleman, this elegant man, asked the driver what the problem seemed to be. The frustrated man had no idea. The car had just stopped. The gentleman asked to have a look at the car. The driver skeptically accepted the assistance and threw the bonnet open. The gentleman looked over. He pulled a few wires. He pulled a few cables, and then he asked the driver to start the car. The engine responded immediately. As he closed the bonnet of the car, the driver turned to the gentleman and thanked him. And then he inquired, "By the way, sir, what's your name?" The gentleman replied, "Henry Ford." You see, Henry Ford knew the car. He knew exactly what was wrong with it. He knew how to fix it. My dear friend, tonight the Lord Jesus made you. He created you. You are made in the image of God. He knows exactly what's wrong in your life. He knows that sin has come into your life and spoiled it and ruined it and damaged it. He knows how to fix your life tonight. He's the creator of the universe. There is a place tonight called the world. It was created by God. But listen, it's not only created by God, it's controlled by God. You see, the same Savior who flung this world into space, who created this world, sustains the world. The Bible talks about Christ upholding all things by the word of his power. The word upholding means sustaining. It means maintaining. It's used in the present tense. It's implying continuous action. Everything in this universe at this moment is being sustained by Jesus Christ. By him, all things consist. I heard about a bird called the Manx shearwater. There's a few guys in the meeting here, and they're interested in birds. I mean the feather type. And those of you who are interested in birds tonight will know that there's a bird that's called the Manx shearwater. A female bird was taken from her nest in Great Britain. It was taken to the city of Boston. It was released 3,000 miles away from home, and that bird crossed the Atlantic in 12 and a half days and arrived home before the airmail letter that gave the details of her release. Can you tell me tonight how a bird released in the city of Boston can make its way across the Atlantic Ocean some 3,000 miles back to her nest? I tell you tonight, there's a God who's in control of all things. I mean, the sun tonight has a surface temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. If it were any closer to the earth, we would burn. If it were any further to the earth, we would freeze. Our earth tilts tonight exactly 23 degrees on its axis. It gives us four seasons a year. If it tilted at any other angle, we would have massive continents of ice. The moon is at the exact distance from the earth to give us two ocean tides a day. If it were greater or lesser, the earth would be flooded. Who created it all? Who sustains it all? Who keeps it in perfect order? Who keeps the planets from spinning out of control? Who keeps the stars from falling out of the galaxies? Our wonderful Savior sustains it all. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Somehow you're doubting the ability of Jesus Christ to save you, to cleanse you from sin, to make you a child of God. Maybe you're saying tonight, preacher, if I trust Christ, is he able to keep me? My dear friends, he's the creator, he's the controller, and if we attain tonight, he's the future conqueror of all things. He can save you, keep you, and bring you to glory, for God so loved the world. There's a place tonight called the world. Secondly, and very quickly, because I want you out in time for the mission, and I know that Michael had you out or finished at 10 to 8, and I could never beat that record. There's a place tonight called the world. Listen, secondly, there's a program called the world. And the Bible uses the word world in this sense to mean society organized without God and against God. The Lord Jesus in this very gospel says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And so tonight, there's an invisible system that's opposed to God and Christ, and it's the world system. You know, the word cosmos means an order or an arrangement of things. For example, you may be interested, ladies, to know that we get the word cosmetics from that word. You think about that tonight. A woman, a lady who applies cosmetics to her face is simply arranging her face. She's ordering her face. She goes to bed at night, and when she wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror, what was once a cosmos order, as she looks in the mirror, is a chaos. And so she takes cosmetics and she rearranges it so that it looks like a cosmos instead of a chaos. I heard about an ad for some makeup called Peter Pan. It went like this: you'd better use your Peter Pan before your pan peters out. Now, when John uses this word, the world, he's referring to the total world system, the world that's ruled by Satan. And we have seen it in this week, in the Asher's case, in the vote in the South, the world system that is against God and against his Son, Jesus Christ. We speak of the world in this way. We speak of the world of music, the world of politics, the world of sports, the world of medicine. What are we talking about? We're talking about a system. In just the same way John says, love not the world. He's talking about an invisible system, a system of evil that is opposed to God, to his kingdom, to his cause, and to Christ. And when you turn to the New Testament, this world system is described. We know something about its prince. John says, the world lies in the power of the evil one. Tonight, my friends, the world lies in the lap of the evil one. And the Lord Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. Maybe I should ask you tonight, do you believe in a personality called the devil? Do you believe that the devil has an organization of evil spirits working with them and influencing the affairs of this world? There is a program tonight. It's called the world. It's under the management of Satan and his demons. And that system seeks to keep you from God and the things of God. Dear unconverted friend, have you grasped that? Do you realize that even now, the devil is seeking to divert your attention? He's seeking to deceive your mind. He's seeking to damn your soul in hell. There is a prince of this world. We know something about the prince of this world. John tells me that we know something about the people of this world. The Lord Jesus spoke about the children of this world. And without realizing it tonight, dear unconverted friend, you're part of Satan's evil system. If you're a Christian tonight, you're pro-Christ. If you're not a Christian, you are anti-Christ. And we who are believers tonight, we're in the world physically, we're in the world spiritually, but we're in the world materially, but we do not belong to this world spiritually. Like a diver on the floor of the ocean, we're out of our element, but we're able to survive because we have outside help. This world tonight, this system that is opposed to God, it's described and then it's denounced. For this same John in his epistle, the same John who wrote, God so loved the world, wrote these words, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say tonight, Dennis, what is worldliness? John Wesley says, it's anything that cools my love for Christ in the world. What is worldliness? It's living for this world instead of the world to come. It's anything that keeps you from loving the Lord. Dear Christian friend, tonight, the world wants us all to have the same standards, its standards. The world wants us to have the same beliefs, its beliefs. The world wants us to adopt the same places, its places. The world wants us to have the same things, its things. The world wants us to dress the same way, its way. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you've allowed the world to squeeze you into its mold. Paul says, speaking of Demas, Demas hath forsaken me. He's loved this present world. Wonder tonight, like Demas, has your love for the Savior been replaced for this by this present world? You remember when you really lived for the Lord? You really lived close to the Lord? And you sought to maintain your testimony day by day as you met in His Word, as you sought the face of God in prayer. But then you began to climb the ladder of success. You started neglecting the Word. You started neglecting the place of prayer. You became unfaithful to the services. And you looked out for number one and you said, I'm spending the rest of my life looking out for number one. I tell you tonight, there's many a professing Christian who would give everything to possess the joy, the fellowship, the closeness, the intimacy with the Savior that once he did. You know something? The things that people are living for are passing away. For the world is not only described and the world is not only denounced, the world is doomed. The world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The only sure thing that we know about the world system tonight is this. It's not going to last forever. You see these massive buildings that cost a fortune to erect. You see these amusement centers that people go and dull their minds and try to get away from God and the things of God. One of these days they're coming down. From Revelation 6 to Revelation 18, it's all about tribulation period. And God is going to pour out His judgments on this world. You know what the clamor of the world tonight for you is? Taste me. Try me. Buy me. Watch me. Experience me. Wear me. Drive me. Fly me. But the things of this world will never satisfy. They're transient. My friends, that's why the world cannot satisfy you tonight. It's not lasting. That drink that you're taking in the pub will never satisfy you. It's not lasting. Those drugs that you're taking on the QT will never satisfy you. They're not lasting. That wee bit that you're having on the side tonight, that fling of immorality, it will never satisfy. It's not lasting. Only Jesus Christ tonight can satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. Listen, my dear friends, for God so loved the world, there's a place called the world. There's a program called the world. Very quickly, there's a people called the world. For God so loved the world. He's talking about the populated world. He's talking about fallen mankind and its international aspect. For God so loved the what? The home, the city, the country, the nation, the world. For God so loved what? The world, white men. Yes, and every other color also. For God so loved what? The world, civilized, yes, and the savage too. Do you see it tonight? All colors, conditions, climes, castes, classes, characters, companies, the world. Can you comprehend it? A world of angels? No. A world of saints? No. A world of sinners? Yes. Oh, the wonder of it all tonight, just to think that God loves me. The world. You see, in John 3, we have a people lost without God. John says in chapter 3, and the next verse, in verse 17, he says this, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John speaks of a people that needs to be saved, a people that is condemned. The Bible classifies all people tonight into two categories, saved or lost. You know, when the Titanic went down, they called her the unsinkable. That's the only thing she did sink. But when the Titanic went down, when they drew up the lists, there were only two lists, saved or lost. Wonder where you stand tonight. Are you saved or lost? Do you know what it means to be lost? Means to be out of place. It means because of your sin, you're separated from God who created you, God who sustains you, God who loves you. And my dear friends, tonight you're lost. And we don't have to stand before God to await the verdict, lost. Lost presently. Lost continually. Lost eternally if you die without Christ. Wonder tonight, are you a lost soul without God? Well, then the gospel is good news for you. For here are a people who are not only lost by God, here are a people who are loved by God. For God so loved the world. You know, the Jews thought that this was for them only. They were God's covenant people. They thought this was for them only. They thought they had a monopoly on the love of God, but not so. It's for the world. Red and yellow, black or white, all are precious in his sight. The smallest, the lowest, the meanest, the grandest, the noblest, the highest. My friend, you may be here lost without God, but you don't have to say that you're not loved by God. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ. You say to me tonight, preacher, where is God's love mostly expressed? At Calvary. You know, at Calvary, God did something wonderful. He took our sins and he laid them upon his spotless Son. And Jesus Christ paid the price of our redemption in drops of ruby blood. And now he says to you tonight, come. Come just as you are, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Years ago, a young man quarreled with his father, and he left home. He continued to keep in touch with his mommy, and he wanted very badly to come home for Christmas, but he was afraid that his father wouldn't allow him over the door. His mother wrote to him and urged him to come home, but he felt that he couldn't come unless his father had forgiven him. And finally, there was no more time for letters. And so the mother wrote to him and said she would talk with the father. And if he had forgiven him, she would take a white rag and tie it on the tree that ran close to the railway track by his home. And she said to this young son, if there was no white rag on the tree, he had better go on and forget about Christmas at home. And so the young man started home on the train. And as the train drew near his house, he was so nervous that he said to his friend traveling beside him, I can't bear to look to that place. Look out of the window. I'll tell you what the tree looks like. and see if there's a white rag on it or not. And so as the train drew near, the friend changed places and he looked out of the window and he said, "Yes, I see the tree." The son said, "Is there a white rag on the tree?" For a moment that friend didn't say anything, and then he turned and in a gentle voice he said, "John, there's a white rag tied to every branch of that tree." My friends, that's what God is saying in John 3:16. He has removed the condemnation. He's made it possible for sinners to come freely to him at the place, at the cross called Calvary. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. And by the shedding of his blood, the debt for us is paid. My friends, there's a white rag, as it were, hanging from the cross tonight. And it's saying, "Sinner, come home. Will you come to Christ now?" May the Lord bless his word.